And the Mitzvah Shem after Sukkot, I intend in fact to do that. We'll start from the Shir on Shalosh Shudas B'Shabbes, and the Shir about Hachana, and about then about Gram Kibui, and then about Amir L'Nachmi. Those are those who don't know the 16th Perek of Shabbos. Those are the primary sugyas in the last, let's say, four blocks in the Perek. So believe that I was to start that right after Sukkot. And today I had every intention to talk about Slichas, because the Slichas starts Motzei Shabbos. So we have to learn about Slichas. So I will talk about Slichas. And it has to do a little bit with Hilchos Shabbos too. The Chai Adam has, in Hilchos Yom HaKippurim, he goes into the Vidui that we all say. And the Vidui we begin, you know, for some people say the Vidui every single day, in the Sfarad. But for us, the Ashkenazim, we don't say the Vidui as a rule. We say it only in Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and the Slichas thing leading up to Rosh Hashanah, and another tiny Yos Tzibur, rarely. The first thing we say in the video is Hashamnu. Hashamnu, okay. So for Hashamnu, very nice. Hashamnu, we always say the same thing. Hashamnu. So the Chai Adam, throughout the Hashamnus, has his own, he put all the Averis in the Aleph Beis order. All. Many prominent Averis in the Aleph Beis order. And when it comes to Hashamnu, he puts in, Achalti dvarim asurim nevelos utreifas shkotzim remosim. Guys, what? Why are you saying this? You say you're lying to the Rabban Shalom. I never ate treif. What are you talking about? I eat only kosher food, kosher meat, kosher fish, and kosher. What? Is that from a yid living in Vilna? What is he saying? See, that's the parentheses. Kayadua. Shebab on the Seinu Arabim. Ein Odom Kimat. Shenitzel me'achilos shrotzim u'lefame m'shaleachas ochal abosar nodesh ha'is ha'nevelu treif, at least leave that out for the moment. Ba'ochal drama muchzokim b'toloim, and he gives examples. Dome ka'ochal b'mezid, and he quotes certain things. He'meleim toloim v'chol adam yochal livdok, and therefore Hashamnu. So what? So by now you probably are aware of the fact that there's a few months already, since Pesach really, there's a problem that's been discovered. The problem goes back years. But it was discovered on Pesach, before Pesach, by an individual who was washing bug-free lettuce. Comes from Gush Katif, guaranteed, but there's probably no bugs there. And he suddenly saw bugs. He wrote a letter, dashed off a letter to Gush Katif. What are you, crazy size? Proud to be bug-free, I see bugs. They wrote him back. Did you wash the bugs? Excuse me. Did you wash the lettuce? Yeah, with water? Yeah, maybe it's in the water. Sure enough, they found it in the water. Now, that's how it started. I'm sure there's no one in this room who knew about it before Pesach. It took a while for the scandal to erupt. By the time the month of May rolled around, it was in its full bloom. A major problem with the water in New York City. So, until today, literally today, I didn't want to talk about it in the yeshiva because I felt no need for me. I didn't want to say anything. Today, I got in my hand a letter, which I first heard about last night at a bar mitzvah, that's signed by Rabbi David Feinstein, counter signed by Rabbi Yashiv, and by Rabbi Scheinberg, prohibiting the water in New York City. Now we're talking already. This is already a bombshell. So I felt it's necessary at least to talk about the various topics. If you expect a one word answer when you walk out of here, I said it's also it's mutter, you can leave now, because then you won't get one. But I thought that we should at least discuss some of the topics. I'm going to try to get the bigger mevinu. I'm a new boy on the block. Maybe some of the bigger mevinim who have been dealing with this problem for months to come and speak to us. I'm hopefully as early as Monday to speak to us and tell us of their what they know. I want to thank Rabbi Josh Flug, Shlita, for his technical assistance. I didn't believe there's anything at all in the water until he showed me. Let me give you a brief description. Rabbi Flug, correct me if I'm wrong on anything. I came back from the country and came out of Rosh Hashanah, no bugs, to the best of my knowledge. No bugs in the water. So I kept saying, I don't know. People call me every day from the city. I don't know. And he came back to the city. I still said, I don't know. So my wife said, you can't say I don't know anymore. You have to find out. So he asked me, Rav Flug, do me a favor. Show me these books. So that week I came back, 3 weeks ago. We met in the library. And what he did was, he took his garden hose and Kew Garden Hills. And he ran it through for 5 minutes, approximately. And with an undershirt. And the undershirt catches these, whatever they are, bugs and other dirt particles. And then took the undershirt and put it in some water in a little dish. And said, here, look. Look what you see, what you see. The naked eye. No microscopes, no magnifying glass. Just, and I don't even have good vision. Even with my glasses. My eyes. What I saw there were a lot of dirt. I don't know what was what. A lot of just brown things floating. I don't know what that was. I'm told that's just plain dirt. Brown and black is plain dirt. And I saw a lot of things which to me looked white, more or less in the shape of a football. I think the football season just started. So it's more or less in the shape of a football. Like an oval like this. There were, to my, all the footballs, all the white footballs just looked like ovals. There was absolutely no way for me to tell whether they were bugs or whether they were white dirt, the same as the brown dirt. No way. There was one item floating, you know, which came from 5 minutes worth of water flowing through New York City. Water pipes, one that looked a little bit buggy. You know, it's like a little antennae, a little one. And even that, after a while, I couldn't find it after a while. At first, I thought I saw it, then now you see it, now you don't, it was gone. I said to myself, so what's the problem? What's the problem? If I can't see that it's a bug, how can it possibly be awesome? All the poskim agree that they're bugs, but you can only see them under a microscope. That is more, not everyone agrees. Not even a shadow about that. However, if it's visible to the naked eye as a bug, then then it's us. And we'll see the possible exception of this case. So here I felt, well, I can see it as an oval, a white oval, and no more than that. And if you wouldn't tell me from some other knowledge base, some other source, which I don't have at my disposal, that it's a bug, I would never know, and no one would ever know. You can't tell that it's a bug. So how can it be us? How can it be us? So Rav Shechta Shlita wrote to that effect once and twice. This goes back shortly after Pesach. Into the month of May, Rav Shechta was still of the opinion there's no problem because you can't see it as a bug. And the fact that you know it's a bug, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Has to be irrelevant. How can it possibly be? That's when he wrote two letters, which came out a few weeks apart, going into the month of May. As a matter of fact, at the end of May, I think it was Memorial Day, I said a shiur in Kew Garden Hills on a number of topics. This was one of them. I said, look, one thing I was smart enough to say was, whatever I say today is only a tentative conclusion, because it's not over yet. I said that I quoted Rav Shechta's letters, two letters, and he said that it's no problem because you can't tell that it's a bug. You can't see it's a bug. So how can it possibly be awesome? Ad Kan was at that point. At that time, I gave two other coolers. One of my quoted name is Rabbi Belsky Shlita, who held that since presumably these bugs originate in the reservoir. What do you mean originate? That's where they procreate, in the reservoir. And the reservoir, he claims, is stagnant water. Has anyone ever seen a reservoir? Does the water flow like in a river, or is it just standing like absolutely standing, as far as you can see, the naked eye? Everyone knows their pipes. That, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. No, if you have a reservoir without pipes, you must not have a reservoir. but you come and look there. Does it look like it's moving? To my knowledge, no. There's a reservoir in the Bronx. Huh? Right, so it looks like there's no movement. It doesn't mean nothing ever moves. If wind blows, things move. But okay, that's a different kind of reservoir. So the reservoir that we're used to seeing seems to me to be stagnant water. It's stagnant water that's in of low pirish. If it's low pirish, Moses and Chul, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch and Peidalim. Low pirish is mutter. Belsky Shlita said at the time, and that was his psak for the OU, that it's mutter because low pirish. because it, even though of course it comes from the reservoir into the pipes and into the cup, into the sink and into the pitcher and into your cup, but it's all, that's all considered to be low pirish. That's mutter. So I told the people then in the Memorial Day, it's mutter for three reasons. One, the right shem said the bug, there's no bug in the first place, and you can't tell it's a bug. Two, Rabbi Belsky says that it's low pirish, even if it were a bug, it's mutter. And three, the information at that time was that it was a davar shalosh chiyach, what you call a mir chein matzui. What's called a mir chein matzui? It's a big dispute how to define a mir chein matzui. And I'm a big maker in that channel myself. I thought mir chein matzui means you measure per serving. Like, you know, if you open your cereal box, it tells you, you know, how much fat there is per serving, how much sugar, how many bugs per serving. I haven't seen that in the box of anything, frankly. But the OU tells you how many bugs per serving. They tell you. So if most servings have no bugs, and the amount, the number of servings that have bugs is enomotzi, which is, we assume, less than 10%, so that's also mutter. So that's what at the time I was told, that's also true. Hey, once in a while you find a bug. So no, I said there are three possible letter, but I was also careful to say that there are those who reject all three. Those who say that the reservoirs are not considered to be pirish. And there are those who say that even if you see it as a speck of dirt, and you know from science that it has the status of a bug, it's usur against Rav Shechter Shalita. And there are those who say that it's considered mir tamatzur because you don't measure by the serving, you measure by the unit. What's the unit over here? I don't know what the unit is. The water tank in the roof of your building. I don't know what the unit is over here. So I mentioned those three possibilities. Abkhan, that's how we left it. And I said, look, the status quo is that it's mutter. Gedolei Olam drank the water. Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh L'Vracha, drank this water for 50 years. He lived in New York City, and he drank the water. And everyone agrees that the materials hasn't changed since, I don't know if I counted back 60 years ago. Could be yes, but to my knowledge, nothing's changed. It's not a new development. The same water, the same New York City, the same Croton Reservoir up there in Westchester County. Everything's exactly the same, to my knowledge, going back 60, 70 years, as far as I can understand. So we have a certain confidence level. It says in Chazal, in the Pasuk, Raglei Chasida of Yishmor, that in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, maybe Takola, Ayidei, to Tamina Chachamim, to Gedolim, so if Moshe drank the water, it has to be Mutter. That's what I was a kind of an optimistic person when it came to these things. They're going to have to be a heter somewhere, so why should I break my head? Someone will find a heter, and then they'll see we were right the whole time. And therefore, I wasn't going to talk about, despite an important development, Rav Shechter Shlita wrote a third letter, which I don't know if it was ever typed up. The first two were typed up. The third I saw in B'Ksav Yad Kodesho. It was typed up ultimately. I don't think it was. Still there. In type, in Ksav Yad. Handwritten. So you can see it on the bulletin board. That's dated later than the other two. And here we have a new development here. This is a very significant development. By the way, the inyanim that we're talking about today are even ogeh to Chol Shabbos. I just received today in the hand the newest Or Yisrael. Sinun Mayim Metuloyim B'Shabbos. Very serious shayla. In my house, we do it all the time. We have a Brita. We've been doing it for many years. And we, you know, put it on the, you know, how things go. It's a plastic container, and there's a filter. You put the water on top, comes out on the bottom, it's clean. We were doing this for many years. Nothing to do with bugs, because just get rid of the dirt. I don't know what to do with bugs. Now I know the bugs come to Shabbos. What am I going to do? So they tell you now, it's no problem. Put a filter in the main, right? In the water main. So I, wait a minute, then how is it done in the water of Chalal Shabbos? If it's low enough in the main, the question, you're allowed to flush the toilet on Shabbos. So somebody talk about that. It's all filtered. So let's get serious, Nuchal Shabbos. It's not a joke. Anyway, what's the new development? I didn't realize at the time when I had spoken. Apparently, these bugs are clearly visible to the naked eye when they're alive, because they run around. You can see them running. The reason you can't discern that in New York City water, because they're dead. Why are they all dead? Chlorine. and other reasons. Clearly, so by the time they come to my house, they're all dead. And when they're dead, as I said before, you really can't tell they're bugs. You can only tell them there's white ovals that are nondescript. Look like dirt. You can't tell that they're bugs. So now comes a very serious halakha question. What's the din in the following case? There are these shaped things. If you look at them as such, you have no way to tell that they're bugs. But not as Rav Shechter wrote the first two letters. If you look under a microscope, you know it's a bug. And now that you're told it's a bug, you can tell that's the same thing without the microscope. So Rav Shechter rejected that. And I'm a chiyuv to the microscope. So there's no problem. But here, he said, you can see it to the naked eye in the reservoir because it's alive. And we know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to know that the water you have in your faucet, it's exactly the same water as came from the Croton Reservoir. And in the Croton Reservoir, there are bugs galore you can see swimming around to the naked eye. So perhaps we should make a linkage. The water here has these things which you can see. The water in the reservoir is exactly the same things when they're alive and it's clear that they're moving around. So it's clear to the naked eye. So we have to answer the water in New York City, because we have to ask for the water in the reservoir itself. Is that true or is that not true? So Rav Shechter Shlita quotes from the Darkei Tshuva Simen Pei Dalet, who quotes the Tshuva's Ben Avraham, who says precisely that. If we know, now we cannot see bugs. If we know that these things are bugs, how do we know? Because we saw them as bugs there, and we know that the water came from there to here. Awesome. The context is vinegar. Vinegar. Anyone know how vinegar is made? Originally, the old vinegar was wine, which went sour. You know, there were the sugars and the shas, right? It started off as wine, it became vinegar, and it's some kind of fermentation process. Apparently, in the middle of that process, there are bugs. And apparently, those bugs can even be seen better than naked eye. And apparently, they remain in the vinegar. But then you can't see. So the Ben Avraham said the vinegar is awesome. Because 2 and 2 is 4. If you would have looked at an earlier stage, you could have seen the bugs moving. Now that you have the product of that earlier stage, and you see something, you can't tell it's a bug. Perhaps you should even if you see nothing, call that sheet. See a tiny speck, and you see nothing at all. Because you know scientifically that what was that is now this. That's what he says. So, Rabbi Shechter concludes, I believe his lashon is min haroy or min hanochon l'sanin es hamayim. It's proper, it's correct to filter the water. He didn't say that the water was the unfiltered water was treif. He used an expression because of this Ben Avraham that we should. It's proper. It's a better thing to do to strain the water. Now, I was very at least I was cheered by the expression that he used. Because as long as he didn't say that it's aser. He said, Ben Aroy, presume you can do it on Shabbos. So, you know, I've been using this, at least myself, I've been using this Britta for years. So now on Shabbos, I can say, look, it's true. And that's what we're going to discuss maybe with the Hilchos Bor a little more. If it's just, we'll call it a lechatchila, it's an ideal to get rid of some impurity, whether it be a halachic impurity, or whether it be a physical impurity. Right? Let's say with no bugs. I'll be using the Britta on Shabbos. How can I do it on Shabbos before we knew about bugs? Why am I using it? What am I using it for? I know there are impurities in the water. There's dirt. So no, it's borer. So there's an expression in the Gemara later on, mishtasi ba'ochi. You know, if I wouldn't, let's say I'm going to someone else's house. He takes water from the tap and I'm thirsty. So I would drink the water. So I would drink it without this sinun, without this filtering. So whatever, you would drink it in a pinch without filtering, so you're allowed to filter it on Shabbos. No issue of borer. That's the Gemara, according to Shulchan Aruch. So Rav Shechter says min haroy, based on halachic reasons, the same as it's true with physical reasons. As long as in a pinch you can drink the water, there's no issur of borer b'shabbos. Adkan, okay, not so bad. Until today, Rav Osai, it still wasn't so bad because it's despite the fact that the state of Or Yisrael came out last time, Tammuz, I think it was, I believe, there were three major articles. Two of them were unequivocally Machmir, and one was equivocal. So what? It didn't bother me. I still had the two or three at ten that we were using. I said, okay, so Eina Chalav is maybe a good idea to be Machmir, but, you know, not so bad. I'll ask, what do I do in my house about water for cooking? I'm not worried about the water in the toilet or the water for the shower or washing my face, but I'm worried about the cooking, because the cooking water is obviously, you cook food in it. So I assumed as follows. If you cook with water, you're not cooking. I'm not talking about someone who's cooking water to drink hot water or to drink tea or coffee. You need to put that at the side. You're cooking other things. You're cooking noodles or vegetables or meat or chicken, whatever you use. So in that situation, I assumed that the cooking process is harsh on bugs, and even if the bug would be intact before the water began to heat, the heat would destroy it, would chop it into pieces, or at least would knock off one of the various tentacles, whatever you want, things are hanging out from the start of the bug. Once one of them breaks off, it's no longer considered to be what we call a barrier. Barrier is a complete unit. And if it's not a barrier, and you can't really see it, it gets all chopped up, and I'm having a piece of chicken, a piece of meat, which once in contact with this water, I thought it wasn't the problem. As a matter of fact, even some of the Machmirim from before said it's only for drinking water, and it may not be for water which you're using for cooking. So I was pretty happy until last night. But you know, I'm unhappy that this problem exists. But after all, in the year 2010, the water's supposed to be filtered. I wouldn't go to the bank with that in New York City. But that's the federal regulations mandated, if I'm not saying. Half the city? Oh, Baruch Hashem. Manhattan and the Bronx. What about Brooklyn and Queens? They don't have to be filtered? Oh, okay. Guys, if you're looking for an apartment in Riverdale, the price may go up in 2010, so maybe you should get it on the ground floor. Okay, Rabbi Yisrael. So what changed was, a letter I'm going to read to you now, some of its highlights, which I it's a shout out around the world. Psak Halacha, regarding water in New York City. It's dated Yom Aleph, Pashas Nitzavim Vayelech, Tashtat. Got it to you in 3 days. Not bad. And then we had a chance to refax there to throw it back. Because it says, Me'um David Feinstein. He wrote the letter. Then it says, Hadvarim Hamurim Leel Brurimim. Ulevakoshas Hagorin Hagodel Per Hador. Rabbi David Feinstein Shalita. Hine Gamanim Etztarif Lahanal. And it's signed Yosef Shalom Eliashiv. And then it says, Lefiyam Etzius Hamuva Liel. Gamani Maskim Shein Lahatir. Even I, who was the biggest maker in history, I'm also make Machmer. Name, signed Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg. He was known until now, I thought, as a big maker of the shop. Am I correct? That was the word that was out. He drank the water and don't bother me. And then this is theologically troubling. Because Rabbi David is saying that his father, Zeichet Tzadik B'Kodesh L'Vracha, ate shkotz and remotsim by the millions for 50 years. No. I can't believe it, that's true. So that, this bothers me. If there's no eitzah. Now it's true that Rabbi Moshe has a tshuva, what they call chelik ches. That's the posthumous volume. In which he writes that if the bug cannot be, quote, is not, quote, nikor lehedja, that it's mutter. I myself quoted that tshuva in a shiur I gave in the month of May as being a raya brua l'kula, but it's no longer true. It's no longer a raya brua l'kula. I was unaware then of the fact that these bugs are nikarim lehedja in the reservoir. So that boils down to, I mean, there are a number of significant considerations. The one is that Belsky writes that the reservoir is considered stagnant, and therefore it's considered perhaps low pirish and smutter on those grounds. That's issue number one. And issue number two is the Ben Avraham right. Is the Ben Avraham right? Because if he's right, we're in big trouble. If he's wrong, we're not in trouble. So I believe it's Rabbi Welcher Shlita, one of the Avos Yisrael Shul in Kew Garden Hills, who said that all the poskim who were matir vinegar, and that was everybody except for the few of the minority, by definition must disagree with the Ben Avraham. Am I correct? That's what he said? That's what I heard also. So everyone's against the Ben Avraham. Yeah, except for, so that's why I thought I wasn't so worried until now. Let me read you some of the highlights of this tshuva. Va'odam b'chayim nirmeim la'ayin b'kalos ha'idei tzunuasim b'mayim. They move in the water. Not only mikarov, afilu me'rochok tzas. Not only when the water is in a glass utensil, but in any utensil, without any magnifying glass. And when they die, you can see them as white dots. That's correct. He doesn't say that you can see them moving around when they're dead, as some had reported. It's just not true. It's just not true. I mean, maybe you see here and there. I'm not saying, you have eagle eyes. But what I saw, and I saw that Rav Feinstein is correct here, but they, by and large, you see as white dots. See, that's as follows. Anan yadinan shemimin shrotzim anirim leinayim. Shemodim b'chaim. We know it's the same bugs in the reservoir here. Ula'olam nisharim b'isurim. They remain us. He doesn't even quote it about everyone. He just says it. And don't quote me, my father, Rav Moshe. The microscope is irrelevant. Here, when it's alive, you can see him. Not only that, but since you can see it when it's dead as a white dot, it's considered nikar yisur, and you're required to filter the water. He quotes the Taz in Yoredeya Simen Kuf Dalas of Cotton Aleph. That's a din d'oraisa. That's just the rabbonos. If you say something which is bottle, is what? There's no bottle. There's no bittle when it's nigger or iser. Then he says, look what he says now. Afilu im einam nikarim b'kol shel mayim. Even if I can't see anything in the water, mikol makom kevin the efshel the sinai lahafrid or iser ain't no bottle. That's a chiddush nifla. But if I see nothing in the water, it's still a problem. Don't understand that, but I don't want to argue about that, because I think you can't see things in the water. Are there any places where you can't see anything in the water? Are there any parts of the city where you can't see anything in the water?
The
more water you have,
the more surface area you have,
right?
The kind of pool you have, it's easy to see, but if you have a glass of water wet, you can see the glass of water.
Won't see anything. Why it's on the bottom? Sometimes it floats.
Bottom,
they don't float. So then maybe this is a critical point. This is a chiddush niflo. That if you see nothing, absolutely zero, and your entire knowledge that there are bugs there is knowledge, not visual. What do you mean knowledge? You know that there are bugs in the reservoir. You know that there are bugs in New York City water, and that if you, in certain circumstances, you can see them as white dots that you know are the same bugs in the reservoir. So he wants to answer it, even if I look and I see nothing. That's a chiddush gadol. It's a chiddush gadol. I see nothing. I'm required to filter the water. Is that intuitive? That's a big chiddush. If I see something, I see those white dots, and you want to paskin that the white dots are also like the Ben Avraham. I know these white dots are the same as the floating bugs in the reservoir. Nope, that I can begin to understand. I see zero, no one. I bring the experts in the world. Look, here's a cup of water at a fancy wedding in a fancy hotel. Show me a bug. No one will find the bug. Is that true? No, no one there? Maybe they'll say, I'll shake it up, then I'll find the bug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
he drank the water. So what would he say now if I see nothing? I don't know. We got to find out. I'm just raising the issue. This is what we call consciousness raising. I don't know what's going on myself. I have no definitive psak. I told you from the beginning. Don't ask me for any answers today. But, okay. Then, the longest paragraph, I'll come to in a minute. The last paragraph, he says, since you find us in many neighborhoods, it's motzui harbe, having kedin miyut ha-motzui b'chol ha-ir. I think he's correct. I think once you accept the other chumras, then my head of miyut chen ha-motzui won't work. We saw the OU gave out a fact sheet. They claim, according to their understanding, that a typical couple was, and I'm above. Usually we assume that the cutoff point to be called Eina Matsui is less than 1 in 10. So according to my kula, if less than 1 in 10 cups of water will have a bug, statistically, it's mutter. Others have, they count the different units. But that's not going to help me, because according to the OU's fact sheet, they claim, I don't have to recheck, that a typical glass of water will, not only is not a mere chain of Matsui, it's a rove! The rove is that the glass of water has a bug in it. I think that's what we came out, 5 to 15, huh?
The 6 to 16,
right.
Only the big ones, and the little ones will be a
rove. Okay, so the count of little ones will be a rove, and the count of the big ones will be 30%. So either way, it's not going to be a mere chain of Matsui. So it's not, at least our last gas ketter, according to this tzak, is Rabbi Belsky's ketter. But maybe we should say that it's considered to be stagnant water, in which case, it's bichlal, no problem. So he writes, the reservoir in New York ain't dino kibor. It's not like a bar. Why? Kevan de mayim boyim l'shami mayonos u'menecholim. Obviously, the water doesn't just come from the rain only. It's not a rain-only source in the reservoir. It's coming from, we know, from various brooks and streams. It's considered like a river. Not only that, he says, but the water is taken out of the reservoir, we know, with pipes, and that's not considered to be like a bar. And the fact that the vast majority of the water doesn't move, it's stagnant, is irrelevant, since the water is coming from these brooks and streams. And even if the majority is rainwater, it doesn't matter. Since it moves out of there, it's pulled out of there to report to New York City, it's considered to be zochlim, does not have a status of a bar, and it quotes a prima gadim on the shach, Simon Peidalet Sifkaton Ches. And a bore is only if it literally has no intake or outtake. It just stands in one place. That's what he says. Then he goes further. He did a research, and it's not true that the majority of the water comes from the rain. The majority of the water in the reservoirs is coming from the brooks, he says, pashut the mikri novim, and it's aser even if it wouldn't go out. He starts talking about mayim zochlin with respect to tvilim for zav and mitzora and para. Therefore, all the bugs are prohibited. Ein lahakol klal bazeh. You know, I don't claim to be an expert in these halachas of what's considered to be noveya, what's considered to be stagnant. I don't know. He doesn't quote any sources really. This just says it's his paskins and Rabbi Yashiv countersigns, Rabbi Scheinberg countersigns. You know, it's hard to just say, okay, just walk around like nothing happened. It's a little bit tough. Yes.
With the gnome that acid the water, in a case where you've been washing food, but then you dry it out completely.
I don't know about that. That might be mutter. By the way, I want to add the last line. He says, also the shtosom o levashel behem b'lisinun. Vashoma nafsha yichak mizemo. That's how that letter ends. Wow. Even the cooking. I don't know, doesn't discuss what happened in the cooking. I thought the cooking should be Buddha. But, I don't know. There's no halakhic discussion of the cooking. The only other piece of paper, I'll just talk about it for a minute, before we end the Chabura, is the OU fact sheet, which I have somewhere. Rabbi Flug has two copies of the two different stages of the fact sheet. The old one and the new one. August 13th, I have that one. August 13th, I have somewhere here. Somewhere or other. I also brought with me, someone gave me once, from Satna. The Beis Harav Satna, Borough Park. I was told them, I might give you a picture here. A picture, beautiful picture. And they say, it's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible. And therefore there's no head. That's what they basically say. That's what it says. I mean, to make a long story short. Okay. The OU also has a picture. I'm not sure if this one has a picture. I have a picture with me. I have it. I'm going to find it. I have some of the papers here. I have pictures. Apparently, the individual who was doing the most research for the OU was a man named Rabbi Lach. Here's my picture. I got the August 13th fact sheet. Here are the pictures. I'll pass them around. So at least you can go away with a little something. Give you this picture. Give you the Satna picture. The pictures are compatible. So look around and see some pictures. Oh, here's this Satna picture. It's not color. They don't believe in color. There's the black and white. The Satna. Mostly black. But yeah. So the August 13th fact sheet. Where's the source of the infestation? Come from reservoirs. Research has shown there is no basis for the initial suspicion that these creatures originate in the water main. They come from the reservoirs. Reservoirs are essentially man-made lakes and contain a regular ecosystem, including algae, copepods, that's this, and other things, and fish. These are not infestations, but rather essential components of a healthy ecosystem. Copepods feed on algae, which would otherwise multiply and deplete the water of dissolved oxygen. They in turn are food for the fish. And these things are present in reservoirs, lakes, and other bodies of slowly moving water throughout the world. I checked the Kinneret. What happened? They're supposed to check the Kinneret. I was supposed to check the Kinneret. And these reservoirs, it comes in. That's what it says. They do not lay eggs in the open water. Okay. You can look on their website here, http://www.glsc.usgs.gov/Great Lakes Copepods/. Write it down. Go on and see what it says there. Okay. Fine. 9 organisms per liter of water. What's a liter of water? Nothing. A liter was a quart, right? Yeah. Quart. That's nothing. That means if you have a 4-ounce serving of water, the chance is going to have a bug in it. DEP, Department of Environmental Protection.
But what percentage of those would be seen by the eye anyway?
Exactly. Listen to me carefully. They can be seen as little dots. Now, the OU also tested 5 to 15 large copepods per gallon, and double that amount of small ones. So that's what? 5 to 15 and then 10 to 30. Obviously, range is a big range. Large means antennae are tailored discernible to the unaided eye of an experienced tester with normal eyesight. I don't know what he's talking about. I guess I'm not experienced with normal eyesight. I couldn't see anything. 5 minutes is how many gallons of water? About.
Maybe
5 to 10 gallons. 5 to 10 gallons. I couldn't even see one. At most one that was discernible to my eyes. I'm not sure what they're talking about. Other locations of an occasional 1 or 2 large copepods per gallon, will often a few small ones. Some have no organisms at all. I believe Rabbi Bleich maintains that since there's some areas that have no organisms at all, then everything's what? I can't see anything. I have a right to assume that there's nothing there. They happened in the reservoir. They went to your house, not to my house. I'm not sure if he'd say that if I could see those white ovals. The white ovals, we know scientifically that they're bugs. Even though we can't see them, but we know they're coming from the reservoir. I don't know. Did you show them the white bugs? Anyone show them? So I want to finally see what he has to say. Anyway, buildings with water tanks on their roof have less infestations. Don't all apartments have water tanks on the roof? No? How high?
More than 6 floors.
More than 6. No, I have more than 6 floors in my house, Baruch Hashem, so I have less infestation.
See it.
Oh, you can see the water tank. Look. You know, in the magnifying glass, you can see the water tank. Okay. I'll tell you how to do it, how to find it. We talk about bittul, etc. Cooking does not ensure that it will disintegrate. Prolonged cooking will cause a significant amount to break apart. 10 minutes of cooking did nothing. Half an hour of cooking got most of them to completely disappear. Filters are going to work. Tell you what kind of filters to use. I'm told, I'll just end with this, that this room in which I sit, that you're hearing, this building, the Heiliger Muss Hall, has a filter in the water main.
No, but the basement.
Only the basement? Oh, that's what the hole in the bottom. Only the basement water. Kodesh Kodoshim. Not upstairs in the dorm rooms? Awesome. Rabbi Sai, we have long lines after this. When I drink water for my lunch, I always take the water from here. Now, is the difference if you take from the water cooler or from the first faucet? So that goes both through the water cooler and both. Please let me know, because I have to spill my water out. Please check after the shiur. Rabbi Sai, my time is up. It was just really an orientation session. So we should know you have a serious problem. I don't know the answer to any of the questions yet. I'm going to try to get this Rabbi Lach to come speak to us on Monday, if I can. Are we late? Hold on a second. I have my... What? I read it, I think two other cities, big cities. I think it's Boston and Seattle, I read. Also are not filtered and have problems.
No problem.
The other big cities are all filtered.
So no problem in Nassau.
No, Nassau County? I don't know. Don't know. I don't want to
say.
Israel did not think so. Both said my time is up. We'll continue bleeding that on Monday.
So,